from the Riverside Chevrolet Master Control Center. This is WACV Coosada, News Talk 93.1 FM. When it's Chevy, it's Riverside.
SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. It has been a wild ride so far today for the nation's 45th president. A New York court has agreed to hold off collection of Donald Trump's $454 million civil fraud judgment if he puts up $175 million bond within 10 days. Mr. Trump says he is satisfied with that ruling. And a New York judge presiding over Mr. Trump's hush money case, scolding the former president's lawyers as he has rescheduled a date for the trial of April 15th. UN Security Council has demanded a ceasefire in Gaza. The United States abstained, and they also, in that resolution, demanded the release of all hostages. And North Korea says Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida has offered to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. No date has been set. This is SRN News.
Biden has started tracking Christians like cattle. Yes, you heard it right. He pressured banks to tag transactions for certain keywords. One of them is Holy Bible. That's a horrifying and creepy attack on our religious freedoms. It's made possible by a digital financial system that makes you a sitting duck. But you do have other options. I recommend a physical gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. I'm Lance Wallnau, a news analyst, a best-selling author, and evangelical leader to people who cherish their financial independence. A precious metals IRA can help you avoid the scrutiny of Biden's anti-Christian bureaucracy while also preserving your retirement savings. To find out more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see how a gold IRA can help you. Text FAITH to 989898. There are no strings attached. So text FAITH to the number 989898 right now and take action to protect your own prosperity.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Riverside Chevrolet Wetumpka. If it's Chevy, it's Riverside. Best price, best selection. Check them out on the web at riversideusa.net.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Weather changes on the way as the next storm system approaches. Today will be dry, though, and quite breezy. Mostly cloudy with a high temperature in the lower 70s. Wind advisory tonight. Winds gusting as high as 35 miles per hour. Dry through the evening hours, but scattered showers move in the overnight hours. Low 62. Showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. Locally heavy downpours. Tuesday's high 71. Wednesday's high 73. Upper 60s Thursday. Mostly sunny and warmer by the weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
At CB&S Bank, we've been meeting the needs of our customers since 1906. Need help setting up new business goals? Our line of commercial loans can help you achieve them. Go to cbsbank.com to find a location near you. All loans subject to credit approval, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Quick programming note, I was actually getting my wires crossed. Bryland Hollihan will be joining us, but it will be at, 1:30. Here at 1:30 our time, 1:30 Central Time. And I do look forward to talking to Bryland. And who's this gay guy? R. Bader 123. Sounding good today, Joey. Lots better without that Eddie loser, although he is better looking. Laugh emoji. Seems pretty lame, man. We'll be right back.
From the Blue Water Broadcasting News Center, these are today's top stories. A small plane owned by Auburn University crashed Sunday afternoon in Opelika. The plane crashed during a training flight about 2,000 feet from the runway shortly after takeoff from Auburn Regional Airport. The one person aboard the aircraft was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The Crimson Tide is the only one of four teams from the state of Alabama to survive the weekend's NCAA basketball tournament. Alabama defeated Grand Canyon University 72-61 Sunday night to advance to the Sweet 16. Auburn, UAB, and Samford were all defeated in first-round action Thursday and Friday. The woman convicted of setting the fire inside the historic First Baptist Church in downtown Montgomery has been sentenced. Shioquin Yan received a sentence of 8.5 years after being convicted of arson last year. Yan is an illegal immigrant from China. From the Blue Water Broadcasting News Center, I'm Sky Mosley.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368. An equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Randy and Tammy Burkhalter at Prattville Farm Center.
Hey, Randy, tell me about those hot chicks I've been hearing about.
Now, Tammy, I don't know any since we got married.
No, Randy, the baby chicks.
Oh, yeah, we're getting Rhode Island Reds, Americanas, Buff Orpingtons, and about six other different varieties.
Plus ducks, turkeys, geese, and guineas.
Hey, and raising chickens is a great family project.
And you get to look forward to fresh eggs.
Visit Prattville Farm Center at 1154 South Memorial Drive and pick up your hot chicks today.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. It's time for Montgomery's conversational radio show. It's News and Views on News Talk 93.1 FM. To join the conversation, call 272-9228.
After damning politicians uphill and down dale for many years as rogues, vagabonds, frauds, and scoundrels, I sometimes suspect that, like everyone else, I often expect too much of them.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back to News and Views in the afternoon. Again, Brylon Hollihan will be joining us at 1:30 our time, 1:30 Central Time. Look forward to that discussion with Brylon. Now, I can admit when I'm wrong. Not all the live long day that we'll be here forever, but occasionally I judge somebody wrong. Now, I'm allowed to go back and forth. I'm allowed to go back and forth on my opinion of somebody. So for the longest time, I have not had a very high opinion of Rubio. That's right, Marco Rubio. I haven't liked him one bit. But I think my mind is starting to slowly change. Because, well, Rubio put on some great political theater when he sat down with Jonathan Carl this week, ABC News. Do people still watch this crap? People still actually tune in to Sunday talk shows? Because I don't. I used to. I admit I used to. When I was a good little boy, it's like, here, let's see what the important people in the news are talking about. Let's see what the tastemakers are saying. Now I think it's, well, highly contrived, overly corporate, controlled theater. But that said, just like you can appreciate, the penultimate match at last year's WrestleMania, brother, you can also appreciate a good, even if it's fake, political performance by a former man I thought to be my arch nemesis, Rubio. So take it away, Marco Rubio. You tell Jonathan Carl what's what.
I want to turn to politics. There was some reporting this week that you are possibly under consideration to be Donald Trump's running mate. I don't put a lot of stock in this reporting right now, or we're early, but you said it would be an honor to be offered a spot on his ticket. Really?
Yeah, I think anyone who's offered the opportunity to serve this country as vice president should be honored by the opportunity to do it if you're in public service. I'm in the Senate because I want to serve the country. Being vice president is an important way to serve the country. But I've also been clear, I've never talked to Donald Trump. I've never talked to anybody on his team or family or inner circle about vice president. That's a decision he's going to make. He has plenty of really good people to pick from.
I mean, the reason why I ask is, I mean, look what happened to the last guy. A mob stormed the Capitol, literally calling to hang Mike Pence.
Listen,
and
the whole mob
defended those chants of hang Mike Pence.
I will tell you this, that when Donald Trump was president of the United States, this country was safer, it was more prosperous. We had relations, for example, in a part of the world that I care about called the Western Hemisphere that were very strong. We had a lot of good things done there. I think the country and the world was a better place when he was president. And I would love to see him return to the White House in comparison to the guy who's there now, Joe Biden, who's been a disaster economically. Look at the world. Every single day we wake to a new crisis, to a new conflict. Everything has gone on fire since the time Joe Biden took over. Afghanistan's gone down. Ukraine has been invaded. Now the Philippines and the Chinese are on the verge of something bad happening every single day, not to mention the threats to Taiwan. We have this blow up in Haiti going on in our very own hemisphere. We wake up every single day, terrorist attacks, and 9 million people across the border.
You're not suggesting that's all happening because of Biden.
Absolutely, I am.
Absolutely,
I'm suggesting it happening because of Biden. He's president, and his weakness and his...
It's because of Biden that Russia invaded Ukraine?
Absolutely.
It's because of Biden that Haiti... Okay,
absolutely. Putin is sitting there saying, these guys can't even stand up to the Taliban, and they have to fly people hanging off the wings of these airplanes. Now's the time to go.
Trump's the one saying suggesting that there should be a deal that effectively gives Putin what he wants in Ukraine.
Not true. What he has said is he wants the conflict to end, which is striking to me that why wouldn't people want peace? What I've said is there is going to be a negotiated settlement. Russia's not going to take all of Ukraine. Ukraine's not going to push Russia back to where it was in 2014. I want Ukraine to have the upper hand in any negotiation.
Wow. Jonathan Carl was trying there. He was trying dearly indeed. But it's amazing. When you look at the reaction to Trump, and it's only going to get worse. Like, we're still several months out. We're not even close to the conventions just yet. It's only going to get worse. So good on Rubio. I guess I'll give him a pass for today. He did a good job there. I can admit it. Still don't quite trust him. Too much of a hawk for me. But good job, Marco. Little Marco. Good job. Now, the whole world, other than maybe the United States, is really upset with Israel. And in fact, the UN the UN Security Council has passed a demand for a Gaza ceasefire. The U.S. could have vetoed it. They didn't. The U.S. abstains as the UN Security Council passes demand for Gaza ceasefire. Wow. So apparently Biden and Blinken have blundered their way into the hands of Russia and China. First, Biden and Blinken tried to pressure Israel's unity government to forego an assault on Hamas's remaining four brigades in Rafah by proposing a United Nations Security Council resolution for a ceasefire. That language required the quote-unquote unconditional release of all hostages by Hamas as well. Russia and China vetoed that resolution and replaced it with a conditionless demand for a ceasefire, clearly favoring Hamas and its patrons, in particular Iran. And after initially threatening a veto, Biden and Blinken instead abstained. Again, the United Nations Security Council on Monday demanded a ceasefire in Gaza during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, its first demand to halt fighting. The United States abstained on the resolution, which also demanded the release of all hostages taken captive during Hamas's October 7th surprise attack in southern Israel. But the measure does not link that demand to the ceasefire during Ramadan, which ends April the 9th. The vote comes after Russia and China vetoed a U.S.-sponsored resolution Friday that would have supported an immediate and sustained ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas conflict. Now, make no mistake, folks, the message sent by the UN Security Council, it just voted to vindicate terrorism, human shield strategies, and hostages in a breathtaking contradiction to the norms of conflict. Huh. Well, but you use what you can, right? I think the Biden administration has managed to do the absolute worst when it comes to Israel and this fight between Israel and Hamas, the fight there in Gaza. It'd be one thing if you just clearly picked a side. And there are a lot of people that'll debate you on which side is right. They'll go back in history. They'll talk about each little attempt at peace deals. And they'll say, well, this clearly is the side you need to back. Okay, but it'd be one thing if you actually picked the damn side. But what this administration and what many past administrations in the United States have done is they play both sides. And they play both sides to the effect that nothing, again, is ever resolved. The fighting might stop, but everybody just rearms. All the propaganda gets spun up. The religious crazies continue to bitch and moan over the Temple Mount. It's remarkable. And we're right back to the fighting. And then, oh, let's play both sides again. How many people have to die under U.S. diplomacy before we realize we're not really good at this? In my humble opinion, you either pick a side, and the practical choice would be to back the strong horse, but you either pick a side, or you stay the hell out of it. Now, my instincts say we need to stay the hell out of a lot of what's going on around the globe. There may be a few areas where there are crucial U.S. interests. Maybe. Though we have inflated, like just like our currency, we've inflated the meaning of crucial U.S. interest. National security interest. But we're running out of money, folks. We're not only running out of money, we also are sucking as we run out of money. We're running out of money and we're getting people killed unnecessarily while inflaming ill will against the United States and our friends in the process. Where's the effectiveness? Where are the so-called adults in the room? Because the more I watch these adults at the State Department or the decision makers, the political decision makers, from the intelligence and Pentagon, and I'm not talking about your low-level analysts or your folks actually out there in the field drawing up plans. I mean the political decision makers. The decisions they constantly make, again, are based on money we don't have in order to fail at our objectives, or even worse, not really having clear objectives, we'll just muddle through. Muddle through. It's an absolute crying shame. And to see us doing this again with this current war in Israel, well, I'm not surprised. But it isn't fun to watch. We are out of money. When will Washington, D.C. realize that? Now, they'll probably, what they'll do in Washington, D.C. is they'll do the same exact thing the big banks they bailed out did in 2008. Well, the mortgage market will never collapse. Who would short mortgages? But as soon as the mortgage market does collapse, they take all these little securities that they had sold to folks who they thought were morons, shorting the housing market. Mortgages aren't going to collapse. Mortgage-backed security is one of the best thing going, man. Who would ever short something like that? And as soon as the big banks realized they were wrong, that these folks they sold those products to were not idiots, they had a lot of foresight. Think of, say, Michael Berry, for instance. The banks didn't immediately pay up. They were able to shift their books around to where they're now the ones making out pretty after creating the damn problem in the first place. That's exactly what D.C. is going to do. They're going to milk this country, this world. They're going to milk their world reserve status, their status at the top of the totem pole until they can't. And then they'll turn around like they're good little saints and soldiers, Eagle Scouts all. That, well, I mean, who could have seen this coming? All of us, everybody with eyes could see it coming, including you. You were just on the take. You were just high on the gravy train. We're out of money. And being out of money means we need to tighten our belts. We need to get our house in order. And you better believe a beautiful thing might be is if you have less money, you might actually be less wasteful. If you have less money, you might actually realize, well, there's only so much to go around. Maybe we spend things that the military actually needs. Maybe we only get involved in parts of the world when we absolutely need to as a last resort. But this idea that making the world safer democracy means we have to essentially be, why does it look so much like world domination? We're the dictatress of the world. Doesn't have to be this way. Be one thing if we're out of money and the outcomes are good, but we're out of money and the outcomes suck. So maybe actually doing with less will make us actually prioritize what our goals and objectives are. Because right now I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it one bit. I'm seeing a corrupt ruling elite that will ride this thing to the bottom and then blame everybody else when they should be the ones looking in the mirror. But here's what I mean by we're out of money. This is Peter St. Ange. The name of this video is debt interest. Interest on the debt is two-thirds of income taxes. So all the taxes they take from you, all the income taxes they take from you, it only pays essentially debt interest. How can you have a robust military? How can you have a robust economy? How can you have an actual free nation that doesn't treat the sword of government like it's a gift from God to make things fair, but actually treat the sword of government as to protect people, not manipulate and exploit them? How can you have any of this when your economy and your wealth is going up in smoke? Wealth this generation running things did not build. Did not create. Well, they inherited. And now we're squandering. Debt interest is two-thirds of income taxes. Take it away, Peter.
The federal spending morgue is eating the country alive, crapping out wars and welfare for migrants, and leaving the people they serve to fight over the crumbs. Fresh numbers came out last week that the federal government spent roughly twice what it took in tax revenue last month, as the federal deficit hit the second highest ever, second only to the COVID lockdowns. Meanwhile, separate data reports that interest costs on federal debt alone are consuming fully two-thirds of the income taxes you pay. So as you tally up the tens of thousands in taxes you're paying next month, reflect on the sense of achievement that two-thirds of that is going to Wall Street and Chinese investors. In short, we are at the loot the treasury stage of the fall of empire, which always happens with paper money. You could argue the surprise is that it's taken this long. So first the numbers. The U.S. Treasury reported that last month it collected $271 billion, yet it spent $567 billion, more than double. About $224 of the spending was Social Security, Medicare, and Veterans benefits. The other $343 was wars, welfare, and interest on the debt. In other words, what's bankrupting us is the welfare warfare complex.
Correct.
In fact, federal tax receipts adjusted for inflation have been down since 2021. This is very odd considering the Bidenomics miracle. Normally, a rising economy pays more taxes. So it suggests there is a lot of hidden distress that government statisticians are somehow missing. So taxes are down, yet spending has soared 50% since COVID. To illustrate, pre-COVID, federal spending was running under $400 billion per month. Since COVID, it's been closer to $600. This brought the February deficit alone to nearly $300 billion, which is up 13% on last year's grotesque number. And it puts us on track for $2 trillion of deficit this year. For perspective, in 2015, which was Obama's last year, the annual deficit was about $400 billion. Now, it's $300 billion in a month.
Wow.
Of course, the deficit is what's driving skyrocketing federal debt, which is up $1 trillion in just the past 100 days. That comes to an annual rate of $3.5 trillion, which is also known as $28,000 per household in America. So think of it like putting $2,300 on the credit card every month and never, ever paying it off. And that brings us to the interest payments. So last month, Treasury collected $120 billion from individual income taxes and spent fully 76 of that on debt interest.
Wow.
As my colleague EJ Antoni pointed out, that's not $76 billion for roads, schools, Social Security. It's just to service old debt. It's the monthly interest on the credit card while they pile up fresh trillions. This is obviously unsustainable, and it's getting worse as the fresh debt piles up the interest costs. And next recession, it could balloon past the point of no return. We're not far from the day when all taxes are going to old debt, with all new spending being effectively printed, racking up yet more trillions as the months tick by. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. Washington has entered the Ponzi financial stage. Of course, they could stop it overnight by slashing spending, but they won't. The 2008 crisis and COVID opened the floodgates, growing the federal beast to cancerous proportions. How will it end? How it always ends. Inflation, mass defaults, and sovereign debt crises. The only question is when. A new episode of the Weekly Roundup podcast just went up, covering Japan's stagflation, American renters giving up inflationists in Congress, and the ongoing bloodbath in commercial real estate.
Again, that's Peter St. Ange. Always appreciate his insights. And, well, he and his friends are absolutely right on this. It's absolutely miserable what we're watching our government and ruling elite do. But doesn't mean, despite my ranting and raving, that one needs to give up hope, especially when you see what the next generation is doing. In a second, we'll hit a break, and I'll be going to Brylan Hollihan. He's coming out with a brand new book that I think many of you in the listening audience might enjoy. Look forward to our conversation. For this break, this part of the program brought to you by Alabama Home Mortgage. And they're at Alabama Home Mortgage. Kim Williams and her team are ready to help you, whether you're looking to buy a home. It could be your very first time buyer. Very first time. Or it could be you've done this before, but you're now looking for a great local lender to help you out. And that's what they do there at Alabama Home Mortgage. Kim and Madeline will get to know you. They'll get to understand what's your goal in owning a home, or maybe you're not buying at all. Maybe you're looking to refinance that current mortgage. You know, credit card debt isn't getting any cheaper. It's not just the government with huge interest payments. What, APR is now on average like 29%? Ooh, so if you're stuck making minimal payments, if that, why not? If you have equity built up in your home, call up Alabama Home Mortgage today to get a great refi deal, especially if you're a veteran. They know the latest in the VA home loan programs and is by far the best game in town. Veterans, take advantage of these benefits you earn through your service through Alabama Home Mortgage. That number, 567-4223. That's 567-4223. Or visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. There is a difference in mortgage companies. Like Kim and Madeline prove that to you today. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender. We'll be right back with Brylan Hollihan.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now. This is your roving reporter, and today I am talking with an elk.
Hey, man.
Mr. Elk, I was just wondering, what do elk do to take care of their money?
Well, like most smart folks, we call David Erdit.
You mean Alabama's most favorite asset preservationist?
That's him, man. We call him up at 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839.
I see.
Yes, he is our preferred money man.
The money man with the money plan.
You've been paying attention.
Well, could you give us those numbers one more time?
334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839. And I just want to try to give you a heads up, man.
Oh, what's that?
I'm not an elk.
Not an elk, huh? Well, then, pray tell, what are you?
Knights of Columbus.
I am not even going to make a comment.
Well, the baby liked it.
Are you tired of the mainstream media's biased reporting? Do you want to stay informed on the news that really matters to you? Look no further than 1819 News. At 1819 News, we bring you the latest in Alabama news, politics, sports, culture, and more. We've assembled a team of journalists with Alabama values dedicated to the truth and the truth alone. Visit us at 1819news.com today. That's 1819news.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. Honest News, Alabama Values.
This is your Black Health 365 moment. April is National Stress Awareness Month, a time to learn more about the negative impact of stress. There is no single definition for stress, but the most common explanation is physical, mental, or emotional strain or tension. Long-term stress can have harmful impacts on physical and mental health. Talk to a professional so that you can familiarize yourself with ways to manage your stress. This has been your Black Health 365 moment, because a healthy lifestyle is a daily choice.
I wanted to know why some people who get COVID-19 get it so bad. I found out it may be because they have a high risk factor, such as heart disease, diabetes, being overweight, smoking, and asthma. Even if symptoms feel mild, these factors can increase your risk of COVID-19 turning severe. So if you're at high risk and test positive, there are things you can do, like asking your healthcare provider if an authorized oral treatment is right for you. Learn about an option at treatcovid19.com. This message is sponsored by Pfizer.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368. An equal housing lender.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Alabama's personal injury attorney, me, Johnny Adams of the Johnny Adams Law Firm. Stay weather alert, everyone.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Weather changes on the way as the next storm system approaches. Today will be dry, though, and quite breezy, mostly cloudy with a high temperature in the lower 70s. Wind advisory tonight. Winds gusting as high as 35 miles per hour. Dry through the evening hours, but scattered showers move in the overnight hours, low 62. Showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. Locally heavy downpours. Tuesday's high 71. Wednesday's high 73. Upper 60s Thursday, mostly sunny and warmer by the weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
This spring, mow with the flow with a Kubota zero-turn mower. John Bobo with Capital Tractor. Kubota Z232 puts power where you need it, when you need it. Save now with our spring specials. Powering Alabama, Capital Tractor, Montgomery, Brundage, and Greenville.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
We lose freedom here. There's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back to News and Views in the afternoon. I'm Joey Clark. And now, as promised, we have on the phone a very talented young man, Brylan Hollihan. Brylan, how you doing this afternoon?
Joey, happy Monday. I appreciate you having me on.
Happy Monday, my favorite day of the week. I watched some of the interviews you've been doing, talking up this book. And again, folks, the book is One Generation Away, Why Now is the Time to Restore American Freedom. You can go to BrylanHollihan.com to pre-order there, and I'm sure it will be available all over the place. But I was watching some of the interviews, and some of these, like, middle-aged anchors, they're gushing over, you're 17, and I got to tell you, man, just turning 35, enjoy it while it lasts. Eventually, your back's going to start to hurt, you're going to smell bad than you normally do, and it's, just enjoy the praise. But it is amazing, because you started, the Truth Gazette when you were 11?
Yes, sir. I was 11, started the Truth Gazette after the 2016 election. And really, this book isn't about my age. It's just about why our generation needs to act up now. So that, you know, everybody keeps gushing over the age factor, but you know, a 30-year-old could have written the same book. So.
Well, and so which generation are you speaking to here with this book?
Well, that's the important thing here. I shared this with somebody just in a New York media tour, and I was like, well, I got to come back to Alabama. This is where I'm born and raised, in Tuscaloosa. And I couldn't do Alabama media without calling into the great Joey Clark show. So I'm happy to be here and appreciate you giving us some time. This book is for my peers who are concerned if there's going to be a free America left for us to grow up in. But it's also for parents out there who want to start that process of reclaiming their children from the indoctrination that we're all facing today. And also it's for grandparents who want to talk to their grandkids or children about conservatism that don't really know how. This book's for everybody. It's available right now at BrylanBook.com. That's BrylanBook.com. Or available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you want to. You can pre-order it now when it comes out on July 9th.
Now, I think, a difference now with the younger generation. And the guy, I think, who exemplifies it is Vivek Ramaswamy. And full disclosure, that's the guy who I voted for in the primary. Even though he had dropped out, I'm like, the man earned my vote. But it seems like Trump sort of broke the older mold of how the GOP was running, and it's created a space for somebody like Vivek. And it, to me, it seems like our generation has a different sense of what's at stake and what's going on in Washington than maybe some of you did come up during the Reagan Revolution, which I think you're alluding to there with the title. You think I'm onto something with this?
You're definitely onto something. And you actually brought up something you don't even know about, The last time I called into this program was I was on the way to when President Trump was coming to speak in Montgomery. And that's when he was doing, y'all were doing your live show around that. That night, I had a conversation with him backstage, and I share the conversation in the book about he was asking, you know, kind of how to connect with young people. And so we talked about that, and I said, this is when, you know, Trump and Vivek were both still running. This was August of last year. And I said, Mr. President, you need to look at what Vivek Ramaswamy is doing. He's on social media. He's working with influencers. He's getting his message directly to my generation. He's got such a hard name to say, yet his name ID is so high because he's connected with my generation where we are, and that's through social media. 2 weeks after that conversation, President Trump rejoined Instagram. You know, he had been on Truth Social. He'd still been posting. Trump never leaves social media. He just wants his own out. But my generation's not really on Truth Social, so they got to see him more on Instagram, and you're exactly right. Vivek did an incredible job with that, and now that he's out of the race, I hope he's kind of advising Trump on how to connect with us better.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I really appreciated to him is he almost seemed to have a wrecking ball approach to politics. One thing that, you know, that the little C conservative philosophy, it's kind of like G.K. Chesterton's fence or wall, that don't tear something down until you know the purpose of it in the first place. Be careful, you know, order can go away pretty quickly. But it seems like somebody like Vivek and others around in our age cohort are realizing, no, a wrecking ball is in order. We understand why the wall was put up, and it's pretty decrepit now. We need to rebuild a new one.
No, you're absolutely right, 100% right. You know, Ronald Reagan came in and said, look, big government is not your friend. We need to bring small government back to America, and that's what he did. That's what President Trump also did when he was in there. Look, Joey, all we hear today is people talking about things that are wrong in America. And look, I agree. There are countless things wrong in modern-day America, but we've accidentally, in the process of that, crossed the line of thinking that there's something wrong with America. There's nothing wrong with America. We forgot the founding principles of our country of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, which I talk about extensively in this book. We lost hope in the idea that is America, and we have to bring that back. And we bring that back by putting the people in charge, giving the people freedom, and making this government as small as possible.
Yeah, and what's the reception when you talk to folks around your age? Because you're still, what, in high school?
Sure, yeah, I'm a junior in high school.
So what's the reception when you try to talk politics to a lot of young folks? Because I'd imagine there is some good reception, but I also imagine you probably get a lot of, still kids being teenagers, so to speak.
Sure, sure. So 7 years ago, I've been doing this since I was 11. I've turned 18 this summer. And when I started 7 years ago, the reception with Gen Z was very dismal. They didn't want to talk about it. They were, you know, oh, we'll leave that to adults. We'll leave that to our grandparents. They'll handle it. And by the time we're there, it'll all be good. I think my generation's starting to wake up and say, hey, they're not handling it, and it's not all going to be good, so it's up to us to do something. And the big thing, when, you know, we're in the middle of a college speaking tour right now of going to different campuses, when we talk to young people who will be first-time voters like myself this November, they realize that it's up to them. They realize that their voice matters and that they need to make sure that they go to the polls. And when I go speak to them, my message to them is simple. Even if you don't have hope in America, even if you don't think that there's going to be a free America for us to grow up in, I still do. Why? Because my hope's in Jesus, not in those bureaucrats that are running the country today. And as long as we protect the freedom in this great nation, God will always be at the heart of this country. And that's the real underlying theme of the book. You know, my publisher didn't love it when we first had the conversations about it, but the book's broken down into three sections. I'm going to give you a little exclusive here. And the second section of the book is called The Modern Day F Words. And the three chapters there are faith, family, and freedom. And they're like, oh, that's kind of, can you say that? Can you say modern day F words? And I said, yes, because faith, family, and freedom are all taboo today. They're all under attack. They are kind of these things you can't talk about. It's crazy to talk about faith, family, and freedom. And that's something that's absolutely under attack. And my generation realizes we want that back. We want to talk about faith, family, and freedom in our schools. And we hope we can have that back soon.
Now, and I was going to go to that what is the core set of values? I already seemed to answer it a bit. But when you talk about faith, you know, on this show, and we had a great discussion a little bit on Friday, I keep coming back to the idea that the actual question of our times isn't explicitly political. I think it's, what does it mean to be a Christian? Because, you know, we've seen in the news some schisms with different denominations. But I would say even the folks who consider themselves secular or none of the above, non-affiliated with any organized faith, that you still should be answering the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? So when you talk about faith in the book, where are you coming from, and how would you contribute to that conversation, that question?
Joey, it's almost like my team has sent you an advance copy. If they haven't, we're definitely going to have to now, because you've gotten 3 points correctly right out of the book. The first message of my faith chapter is defining what a Christian is, defining that it is a relationship, not a religion. And that relationship should, you know, for too long, Christians have said, oh, politics too dirty, we're going to stay out of that, we're going to leave it to other people. Well, when you leave it to other people, you leave it to the bureaucrats. You leave it to people that are trying to get faith out of politics. So absolutely, Christians should be at the forefront of politics, for protecting our values, protecting our rights, and making sure that that is the forefront of America. Our founding fathers founded this nation as a Christian nation, and that's, you know, this whole idea here. I know that's taboo and controversial to say today, but it's facts, it's history. And that's something that we need to be reminded of. So you're exactly right. There's an entire chapter, chapter 8.
Well, I guess I don't have an advanced copy, but I guess I'm just anticipating some
of
this.
I'll send you one.
I would love it. Please send it my way. And last week I was talking about, do you know the story of old, like 81-year-old Ben Franklin at the Constitutional Convention, where he essentially, after they're at an impasse, that it's about to break down about proportionment between big states, small states, in the Senate and the House. And Franklin gets up and shocks everybody, because the man kind of had a crazy life, maybe lived a little fast, and was famed as a deist in some circles. But he gets up and he says, we should remember that it was Providence, it was God who guided us through the Revolution. If we've forgotten our powerful friend, and then goes on to say, I believe, because I've lived a long time, and the longer I live, that God does intervene in the affairs of men. Doesn't sound much like a deist, and the room was shocked. So I think there's something, too, when you say we're a Christian nation, that this has always guided our forefathers and forebearers, even the ones that might be put in the secular column, honestly. It's a remarkable thing, the more I read American history.
Yes. And this wasn't a church of the government where our founding fathers forced us, like England or another nation they might have come from, to actually, you know, everybody in this nation, say, is a Christian. Everybody has to go to church on Sundays. We would love you to encourage that, but nobody's forcing that upon it. The great thing about America is the freedom. And that's the whole, you know, obviously the narrative of this book, well, now is the time to restore American freedom. Really, the subtitle should be why yesterday was the time to restore American freedom, because we're a few years behind on that one. But my favorite story, again, from that Constitutional Convention, you know, there was a lot of speculation on, okay, this is a new country. They just won this Revolutionary War against the superpower of the world. And you can tell my history geeks coming out right now, but they were all, you know, all the reporters were standing outside the convention and asking what's going to happen. And when the founding fathers walked out, they turned to them and said, what kind of government did you form? And he turned to him and said, a republic, if you can keep it. Joey, we're at that point where we will not have the freedom of a republic, the freedom of a country ran by the people, for the people, if we just sit on our hands too much longer. And it takes a revival of not only Christians, but young people and everybody in this country to say, hey, something's wrong here. We need to fix it before it's too late.
Again, folks, we're talking to Brylan Hollihan, and the website is brylanbook.com.
Yes, sir. Brylin book.com.
Now, I think I saw that you helped in part write Senator Katie Britt's State of the Union response. Which part was it? The good part?
So listen, there's obviously a lot of criticism against my good friend Senator Britt. I helped, you know, a little bit with the conversation. We spoke twice on the phone before, you know, she gave the speech, and then obviously we spoke a few times afterwards, and conversations with her and her team and, you know, her incredible husband, Wesley. The message I kept encouraging was just make sure that this, you know, touches Gen Z. Obviously, I think she did an incredible job, first of all, with the delivery and the performance, and I think the kitchen, you know, worked really well trying to connect with, you know, your suburban men and women that we're trying to get to. But I knew that was going to be the focus, but I also wanted to make sure there was a focus of Gen Z to make sure that, you know, she said relevant stuff. So when she talks about Lincoln Riley, when she talks about things that my generation is realizing, of like, okay, Georgia's not a border state, but there was still, you know, obviously a brutal, tragic death there because of Biden's open border policy. When she brings that up, everybody's like, oh, you're right. That is, you know, it's kind of pointing out the obvious that people aren't necessarily paying attention to, you know, just outright themselves. So that, I think she did an incredible job. A lot of the criticism that you're seeing is saying that she was too passionate. Well, Joey, guess what? These are passionate subjects. Any mom and dad and all across America are passionate as well. So that's the passion you saw. It was real. It was genuine. And the criticism, well, that was expected.
Well, yeah, and, you know, when I watched it, I wrote about this. I mean, I was in Boston visiting friends, old drinking buddies, so I was a little drunk. But I was cheering like like crazy seeing Montgomery, Alabama up there. And other than the TV makeup, that's the person I've come to know. She's kind of always that way. Passionate about things, like will literally smack the desk here when she's making a point on these airwaves. So, but one part of one part of the criticism, though, that really just kind of made me say, really, and it goes back to your point about one of the modern F words, family, It's the kitchen table is no longer a symbol of hearth and home. It now has become this, oh, you're just pandering, and it's part of the patriarchy. And I bring this up because how do you reach the really cynical side of America? You mentioned this a second ago, that people seeing the bad outcomes of our government are now confusing that with the country itself. But how do you reach the more cynical side? I'm sure you see it on Twitter. When it's something as simple as a kitchen table conversation is now, you know, food, it's fodder for criticism and whatnot.
Sure. No, I mean, it's absolutely difficult. I mean, you're right. One of the main criticisms was that table, was the kitchen. Guys, I don't know if this is breaking news for you, but that was her real table, and that's her real kitchen. There was no props in the speech. She just sat down and filmed the video. I mean, I don't, they think too way much into it of like, oh, we bought this table, and that, you know, people were saying that, you know, it was just, you know, all blank and all that in the background. She had no family. No, that's just her kitchen. That's just where her, you know, her family of four lives happily in Montgomery, Alabama, always have and always will. That's a real life. I mean, I don't know what they're doing in their mansions and New York and L.A. and all across the country where these elites are, but that's what a real American home is like. We didn't rent a house or buy any props for that one. So when you talk about how you're going to connect with them, it starts with conversations. It starts with things like what she did of just being willing to sit down and very bluntly say, here are the problems in America, not with America, but in America, and here's how we address them. We address them by electing a president that's going to actually close the border to prevent these brutal, tragic deaths. They're absolutely avoidable. Lincoln Riley's death was absolutely avoidable. And Joe Biden sat in his hands, pronounced her name wrong, refused to talk to the family, yeah, and sits there and, you know, doesn't address it. So it starts the conversation, but they have to be willing to listen. And that's the roadblock we're running into right now.
Well, I really appreciate the time today, Brylan. Again, it's Brylan Hollihan, folks. The book is One Generation Away, Why Now is the Time to Restore American Freedom. And you beat me to the punch. I've been meaning to publish a collection of my essays I've been writing over the last couple of years. So maybe I'll reach out off air, talk to you about Skyhorse Publishing, see what they're all about.
But, yes. But I'll be in Montgomery in 2 weeks. We'll grab lunch and catch up.
Awesome. And if folks do want to get the book or just follow you in general, how can they do so, Brylan?
All my social medias is at Brylan Hollihan, and the website's brylanbooks.com, or you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you feel comfortable, you can go and pre-order it, and we'd appreciate the support.
Well, like I said, appreciate the time, man, and best of luck.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Joey. We appreciate you. Have a great week.
You too. Well, I enjoyed that conversation, and Rising Star, the kid, talk about, and again, it's weird for me calling somebody else a kid. But putting his best foot forward, starting at a very young age, and it's quite apparent when you speak to the young man as well. We got to hit this break. Hopefully we'll have Michael Cohen of Cohen's Electronics and Appliances on the other side.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Make 2024 the year you break away from the chain stores and join us here at Adams Drugs. We value your business and want to provide you the best customer service at the lowest possible price. We've been serving up excellent customer service here in the River Region for over 62 years.
I made the swap to Adams Drugs and I couldn't be happier. Having a job and then getting three kids to all of their activities keeps me busy. I don't have an hour to waste waiting on a prescription. At Adams, they know me and my family. I get in and out in minutes, and when I can't get by Adams, they'll bring the prescription right to my door.
What are you waiting for? Come in to Adams Drugs and let us earn your business. Our friendly and personal staff will talk with you and answer any questions you may have about your prescriptions. Your satisfaction is our number one goal. Visit us at AdamsDrugs.net for the location nearest to you. Adams Drugs is your local independent Health Mart pharmacy. Health Mart, taking the time to listen and care.
Ahoy there, landlubbers! Is your stomach yearning for some great seafood? Or maybe it's a meat and three you're craving? So set sail for Little Fish Tail Seafood Bar and Grill, the undisputed champion of deliciousness in Lake Jordan and Slapout. We're talking great food, fantastic drinks, and fabulous music. They're like pirates with spices, creating flavor combinations that'll make your taste buds do a jig. Go see them on Lakewood Road or call 543-4561. Don't forget a free grab bag for the little ones.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368.
an equal housing lender.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back to News and Views in the Afternoon. Let's go to the phones, talk to a great sponsor of the show, Michael Cohen from Cohen's Electronics and Appliances. Michael, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, Joey. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. And, you know, I've watched a fairly new movie on that beautiful TV you sold me, that 85-incher. You know, turn all the lights down, sit in the middle of the room with the surround sound going, and actually watched Wonka. I was in the mood for something whimsical. I was surprised. This is the new one with Timothy Chalamet or whatever. I was surprised at how funny and good it was, but and it certainly looked great on that big TV of mine.
Well, that's great. I think there's a lot of people out there that they'd get a new television or get a new sound system from us, and I think that they do get to relive all of the stuff that they had already watched, and they're all impressed with how great it could have been had they had the newer product sooner.
Oh, and there are some movies that still really hold up, like Space Odyssey's Remarkable Tombstones, just always a great time. There's so many, The Godfather 1 and 2. I mean, there's right. So many that on that big, especially these ones that have been remastered for 4K, it's like you're in the theater, especially with these big TVs, and you have those products there. You, in fact, now have Sony and Samsung products even bigger than the TV I bought from you?
That's right. That's right. Sony has got their 98-inch that we've got on sale at $69.99. Mm. And Samsung has just lowered the price of their 98-inch. It was $14,000. And they've lowered theirs to $99.99.
Wow.
So Samsung makes a couple of different levels. This is their QN90 series, which is their upper end. And the Sony is in their regular line of televisions. They're both great sets. I think the Samsung has probably got a lot more processing capabilities, which equates to a better picture.
And of course, when you're talking about something that big, and I mean, you're paying for what you get, folks. It really is a fantastic product. Number one, you'll have financing options?
Yeah, we have some great financing through Wells Fargo. They can go up to 3 years of financing. I think we can do 6 months with no interest. But the rest of it would be with interest. If you needed it to go longer, it would be interest from day one.
Okay. And then something that big, y'all, of course, have delivery options and have folks to set it up?
To me, the most important thing we have is our install person, which is Michael Jackson. He does an incredible job. And we can get it to your home. We can put it on a cabinet for you. We can hang it on the wall. We can add sound bars. We can add 5.1, 7.1, 7.2 surround, you know, however far you want to go. And he knows how to get it set up. He knows how to get it with all your passwords for all your streaming services, for your router, your Wi-Fi and everything. And if there's any hiccups, then he's got enough knowledge and everything so that he can actually remedy stuff while he's there. There's many times he may call the cable company because there's a problem and he'll get everything straightened out, as opposed to a lot of people just want to point the finger that it's not my problem, it's the cable people. Cable people come out there and they blame us but he just kind of gets to the root of the problem and handles it while he's there, which to me is a huge advantage.
Well, and I'm again a customer of Cohen's, folks, and I've experienced the service. Michael Jackson is just fantastic. At a certain point, I was like, I got it. I'm not like an old man. I can set my apps. Like, thank you.
Well, he's programmed to go slow and methodical,
right?
Because when he leaves, he doesn't mind you calling him later, but he would rather have everything done to where it's as third grade level as possible so everybody understands and can do it, because he doesn't try to overload you with too much, but he does want you to have all the basics down so that you can enjoy what you've just purchased.
Well, there you go, folks. You can always kind of shop from home there at thinkcohens.com, but there is nothing like actually stopping by the Boulevard, 2515 Eastern Boulevard right here in Montgomery. They're open 9 to 6 there at Cohen's, Monday through Friday. 9 to 6 Monday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturdays. And when you do stop by, be sure to find one of the team members or Michael Cohen himself and say, hey, I heard Michael on that on the radio thing with that Joey fella. And that would mean the world to me if you would find them and say that.
Oh, how sweet.
Or if you saw it on the stream, we've got the website pulled up. So y'all check out Cummins today. Thank you. Thank you, right. Michael.
It's all about you, Joey. I like that. No.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Have a great day.
272-9228 if you want to get in on the program. Let's go to line three. You're on there. Who's this?
My name's Charles.
Hey, Charles. How are you?
I'm good. This guy Beeson?
No.
Okay. He's on today, probably?
No, he's on from 9 to noon. You're now talking to Joey Clark.
Okay, Joey. My uncle named Joey.
It's a good name.
So, I got a couple things I want to go ahead and say here. This program, it's about opinions and about anything else, you know, you want to talk about. I just don't... How does Donald Trump expect to be elected the president again? They tell you don't post on the internet. They found fraud in almost everybody that works for you. And then they tell you they don't want your taxes, and they do want your taxes. And he's your skin color. He's not my skin color. Your skin color. I mean, what is... People are expecting white to be the president to be able to do these things and be able to handle, be responsible, not to be the devil,
sure.
Not to be somebody we can't trust. And it's even more saddening that I got a call from up north to tell you this.
A call from up north? Right, well, almost, okay, you're in Ohio, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's saddening. And nobody wants them there.
I disagree there. There are a lot of folks still. I think the more, all the things you laid out, the more people go after Trump, especially, say, very powerful people go after Trump, the more people tend to like him. I think Trump is at his best when he's on the defensive. And you see in a lot of this early polling coming out from not, you know, Bob and Tom's polling shop. It's not some conservative outfit. You're looking at New York Times polling, CNN polling. A lot of folks are shifting to Trump, in particular younger folks. I've noticed younger black men seem to be going Trump's way. A lot of Hispanic voters are going Trump's way. And
I'm going to tell you, Joey. He's denouncing half Eastern Europe, half of South America. He's denounced. So anything he says, it's measured with scrutiny and it's not trusted. The media of the other countries instantly publish it. Don't trust them. And let's really be, they only trust the president for probably about a year and a half globally, and then they put him along with the bandwagon, the conspiracies. And, you know, you didn't have to hear it from me. You can probably figure it out. He owes so many people money, I wouldn't trust his taxes. He owes me money.
He owes you money.
He owes me money from Cartoon Network.
From Cartoon Network?
Yeah, when he was still a part of the UFO cult of America. He owes me. He owes my uncle money.
So you're part of the whole Cartoon Network thing?
Candidate. Yeah, he owes me money from Cartoon Network. It's a true story, actually. It's a show on TV called The Boondocks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's about my life.
Wait, the Boondocks is about you?
Yeah, it is.
In part? So that's awesome.
I'm talking to the one with the afro. That's who it's based on, not the one with the braids.
No, that's a great show. I know it.
And actually, he owes me money from Cartoon Network that I never got. And so this is one person where I would invite you to my city to come and see me, and I would talk to you. I'll tell you to your face. But nobody that supports you don't got nothing I agree with going on with them. They all participate in fraud, the Eastern Europe Soviet third generation.